Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. And there I am. Alright, so it's going to be a math video. Yuck. Well, I guess I should do this first. Obviously, the comment first. And then we'll go through the fucking drawings again. And whatever. But this is it. I keep saying this is the last one. They're going to keep arguing these simple points. The simple point is you can't get from Newton's statement about momentum and force to the idiotic equation 1/2 mv². There's no legitimate way to do that. You have to use a gimmick to fuck it up to somehow square the velocity, because it's nowhere in anything Newton implied or said. Okay. So he has a correction here, so we'll just read the regular comment and fix the part he doesn't like. Anyway, saying acceleration is merely a change in the velocity works only if you measure the acceleration in the same unit as the velocity, 1 second. No, it works. It works if you're calculating a rate. In all of these examples I've provided so far, people keep saying the force, the net force, equals. Obviously, a rate of force is not the net force. So when someone says 9.8 meters per second, they're not telling you the net force. They're telling you the rate that the force is being applied at. The net force would be the total amount of force. Now, clearly, that's going to end up being the total change in the momentum. And you don't need any time units. But this is falling on deaf ears. If I measure the change in the velocity during this a 2 second fall, the change in velocity will be double, right? And that is what the T in acceleration adjusts. And I'm not denying that. As I stated, the way Newton formed that formula was for the very purpose of finding the rate at which gravity functions, not the net force. So it's the rate of force, not the net force. Use the formula to find a rate number. You're going to get a number that's going to be in units of seconds. You're not going to get a number like 64 pounds. He's not getting the foot-pound number. All right. And that is what the T in acceleration adjusts. Now, what the acceleration does is put a unit that's already in time units, the change in velocity, and putting it in time units again, a second time. So it's just adding a per second per second. So as soon as you change the change in momentum to the change in velocity, and therefore call it acceleration, you add, okay, another time unit. All right, the same T under change in momentum. It divides the 19.6, which is the velocity up to 2 seconds of fall on gravity, by the 2 seconds it fell to arrive at an acceleration value of 9.8. So you said 9.8, but it's obviously 9.8 meters per second. It's a rate. It's not a net number. It's not a net amount of force. So you can't say, I've just calculated the net force, because you haven't. All right, the division allows it to remain in seconds. Remain? Why would it occur to us that it's in seconds? Anyway, this adjustment for whatever interval you choose the acceleration with. Right, and it'll always give you a rate of acceleration. It won't give you the net force, the net amount of acceleration. Jesus. If one is forced to measure acceleration in 1 second interval, change in velocity is sufficient. If you want the rate, then the formula will give you the rate. As I stated, if you want the net force, just cross the T out. And the net force is going to be the net change in the momentum. That's the way the math should be understood. If you want to be consistent with what Newton understood the force to be. I mean, in his description, he makes it quite clear that if I have a material object that has momentum, and then I have a force, They affect each other equally. The force and momentum are the same thing. Okay. Because the change in acceleration divided by one, as you say, merely change of acceleration. So, because change of acceleration divided by one, is this the third paragraph? Yeah. So I meant to say change in velocity. Because the change of a velocity divided by one, as you say, merely change of acceleration. I'm just saying that there's no reason. Well, we'll go through the math. I say velocity changes over an interval of time. To say velocity changes over an interval of time, to say velocity, right? Velocity, which you calculate in seconds. So understand, you can't express a change in velocity without expressing it as a change in velocity over time. You have to put time in it. And then if you put a line there and then put time in the denominator again, you end up with doubling the seconds. That's the problem. It's equivalent to saying an object experiences force for an amount of time. Impulse. I don't want to argue impulse versus, there's no such thing, okay, in the context of a net force. But whatever. There's how much force applied over how much time. Everything, in a sense, is an impulse exchange. You can't really exchange anything else but an amount of force over an amount of time. Because the time changes the momentum proportionally. The time is essential to the transfer of the force. You have to have time to transfer. In other words, the velocity changes for however long t is. The velocity changes, and that is already in the statement of the number for velocity change. When you say the change in velocity, you have to write a number down. What form is that number going to take? The number's not going to be just saying 6. You're going to say 6 meters per second. So you've already got time in the equation. And now you're going to shove time in it again by saying per second. Again. So this playing with the word acceleration rather than just state what you're doing. So let's just say we abolish the word acceleration. So we don't have a word for it anymore. And now we have to say change in velocity. Doesn't that fix the problem? So if you don't have anything called acceleration, then you can't do any perversion of the fundamental equation. You can't change it into F equals MA. You have to leave it, okay, in the original form, which is change in momentum. So if you can't do that stupid perversion, then there's no way to get, you can't fuck it up. That's my simple argument. It gets fucked up because you have a silly definition of acceleration as somehow being per second per second. Now, I showed the professor, the college professor, playing that game, right? He had a number on the board, and he said, you know, it's 6.8 meters per second. And he said, but acceleration is per second per second. And so they put another second unit in the denominator. He created a fake denominator. So now when he makes his exchange, he can invert and multiply and square the seconds. Again, I'm not going over and over it. Because the time changes the momentum proportionally. In other words, the velocity changes for however long it t is. The velocity changes an amount, and yes, but the time doesn't mean anything because the amount isn't dependent on you saying it's an amount of time because it already is telling you it's already per second. Okay, but you are not constraining impulse to be measured in 1 second, are you? I'm constraining the fact that if you're going to put a 1 in the denominator of the fraction, that it's 1. It's not 1 second. But anyway, nor do I constrain velocity change to 1 second. Again, my argument is with the concept of acceleration and the way you're saying you measure it, which is to play the little trick game, okay, of your, what is it, force times distance? Which one do they use? Change in velocity over change in time. The point is that the change in the velocity already has the change in time in it. But anyway, okay, I will look into the lever stuff without proposing or denying kinetic energy. Look, the point is it clearly, it's a clear illustration. You can't, I'm pre-proposing. There's no other way to look at it. I'm just saying either you believe momentum is conserved. If you believe momentum has to be conserved, as Professor Lewin said, right? You can finagle kinetic energy, but you can't finagle momentum. Then it's impossible, okay, for the two things to be called compatible. There's no compatibility. You have to make free energy every time you conserve the momentum going from a large object to a small mass object. So every single time you do that, you create free energy. And every single time you go the opposite way, you destroy megatons of energy. So there's no other way to look at it. You either believe it or you don't believe it. So do you believe in conservation of momentum? Just say yes or no. If you believe in conservation of momentum, the conversation's already over, okay? Because the two formulas are not in any way compatible. We know there's no free energy, so unless you want to tell me there is this really easy to access free energy, all you have to do is go jump on levers and you make all the free energy you want. All you do is put gunpowder in guns, and you can make the gunpowder have all the amounts of energy you want. Just put lighter and lighter bullets in the gun, and you keep making free energy. You can't get how this works? It's a fact. I put a heavy bullet in the gun, right? Okay, let me draw that one. I mean, this is probably a really decisive argument also, so maybe this one, I should just use this one all the time. That's all I have to do. I don't have to do anything else to make free energy. So I have a gun, and let's just say, okay, I can make the bullet, I can make it 1 gram, or let's say I can make it 10 grams. All right, so you just do the kinetic energy, 1/2 mv squared math. And the fact that, you know, because there's going to be certain facts. I make the bullet, okay, the bullet's heavy, and I put the bullet in the gun, all right, it's not going to come out with the same velocity, so it's going to be, say, a 500 velocity. I put a light bullet in the gun, okay, it's going to come out with 1,000 velocity, all right, so it's a half-size bullet to this first one. It's going twice as fast, right, and we know that's going to be 4 times the energy. So from the same explosion, I'm going to get 4 times the amount of joules of energy out of the gun. Now, do you think that's possible? Merely by changing the size of the bullet. And obviously, I could go smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, like a lever. I could just keep going smaller and smaller, and as 4 becomes an 8, and then it gets a 16, and then it's a 32. And I start making preposterous amounts. I mean, this number ends up being 100,000 joules of energy. Can't see that. It's there. So you think that happens? You think that's true? That the explosion goes, you know, depending on how much weight. So if I put 1,000 times heavier bullet in, you know, a bullet that weighs as much as the gun, right? Okay. I get 2 joules here and I get 2 joules here. It's probably, you know, and you multiply the joules, you multiply the momentum by 2. So it's 4 joules here, 4 joules here. So I get a total of 8 joules of energy by firing the gun. And then if I put 1,000 times lighter bullet in, I got 2,000 joules. So 8 or 2,000. Same gun. Same charge, same explosion. That's rational physics. Everybody should believe. Everybody must believe. We must trust the physicists. They know what they're doing. No, they don't. Well, let's finish this up and then we'll just do this. Then I'll do the math crap one more time. What am I looking for? Yeah, that's fine. Okay, without proposing or denying kinetic energy, because I am just trying to make sense of what you say. What is so hard to make sense of? For 2 years, I've been saying there's no way to conserve the momentum and conserve kinetic energy. You can't do both. One of them has to be the right answer, and one of them has to be a completely wrong answer. They can't both be the same thing. They can't both be a something. They're both describing the same thing. Galileo thought momentum was energy. Newton thought momentum was energy. Descartes thought momentum was energy. They didn't think there was some other energy. In most respects, I mean, I can't say that, you know, they were still curious, okay, because there were circumstances that didn't seem right, like gravity, 4 times the height and all that stuff. It was still mysterious to a point. All right, because I'm just trying, okay, anyway, you can be wrong, you can be right, whatever that, you know, this, you know, this, almost something this stupidly glib is so fucking useless to the world or to me. You know, I have no horse in any race. Then why are you bothering me? You know, it is what it is. Yeah, that's the whole thing we're trying to decide. It is what it is. What is it? It isn't just what it is. It's an answer. You either get right answers or wrong answers. Are you this arbitrary about your religion? You just say, well, I don't care. I don't have any horse in this race. I'll just believe in the, you know, voodoo. You know, fuck it. You know, I'll start throwing bones into a dish or something to figure out what to do tomorrow. Astrology, you just don't care. Anything is just fine. Fuck. Alright. So, yeah, people are just so annoying. It's just so annoying. Oh, okay, I have to do some erasing. Alright, so here's the bizarre jargon. We could call it bizarre jargon. So they'll concede to Newton's his formula, okay, in the sense that they'll do something like this, and then they'll say that's force, and then they'll put a little N here and say net. And the joke is that it's exactly the opposite. Okay, this is going to be the net force right here. The change in the momentum, it's going to be the net change in the momentum. We're not going to do per seconds or any of this other crap at this moment. And we get this number. So this number is going to be the total change in the momentum, right? So this is really the net change, okay? This one is the net change. Because when you divide it by seconds, obviously you have to have the whole change here. Or you're not going to get the right answer, are you? Right? So the net isn't here. The net is here, okay? And so you put a number in here, right? It's 3 meters per second, okay? It's per second, okay? Now you're going to divide the 3 by how many seconds it was, okay? So it's 3 seconds it took to go 3 meters per second, and then you end up with a force of 1 meter per second, right? So that's basically what he's saying. So if we use the real numbers, then this would be, as he stated, 19.8, okay, for 2 seconds. So it would be 19.8. No, that doesn't work, right? That doesn't come out to 9.8, does it? Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. Big number. Nearly 10. All right, nearly 20, and you just divide it by 2 seconds, and you get 9.8 is a rate. It's not the net force. 9.8 isn't the net amount of force that affected the object. We already know this is the net number. This isn't the net number. All right, so that's part one. All right, so the contrivance is when they say that the change in the momentum, because the momentum is the mass times the velocity, that we can change the velocity into an A. So we can say F equals MA, because we're not changing the mass, and all we're doing is changing the velocity, and the change of the velocity has to be the same as the acceleration. But the catch is that the change in the velocity can't be expressed in any other way but putting it in seconds. So it's already in seconds. So the change, the acceleration is going to be, well, it's going to have to be something like that, 9.8 meters per second. It's already in a rate. It's It's already in a rate form. It's already in seconds. And now you're going to put this time thing back in here for some dopey reason and make a mess out of this. And now you're saying per second, per second. So you're putting a second back in here again. So they can have an excuse to do what it is they do to screw the whole thing up. But, you know, the work equation is part of that. Sometimes they just use the work equation, because the work equation, instead of being force times time, it's force times distance. And distance is the lie. Distance is the 4-to-1 thing, okay, where time is the 2-to-1 thing. So that's a critical difference. 4-to-1 and 2-to-1 are big differences. So obviously, if you understand that the work is going to be about how long a force is applied, back to impulse, if you want to know how much force is being applied, you have to figure out how long the force was applied. And what's distance got to do with anything except calculating the acceleration, right? So we're back to that argument. All right. So it's the fact that they changed the change in velocity ends up being, okay, what they end up saying is that it's an acceleration over time. And we know that the acceleration, okay, is already in time. So you don't, this is redundant. This doesn't do you any good. It just creates another unit of velocity. The acceleration is the change in the velocity. So I'm just saying, if you just get rid of this word acceleration and you just stick with this term, you won't get into any trouble. Because the change in the velocity is a rate, and you can just put it anywhere in the equation, and it's a correct rate. It's 9.8 meters per second, and then you just say times how many seconds. And now you have a net force. That's probably, I don't really want to go through all this crap. I fulfilled my purpose. I showed a college professor saying, Here, I have a fraction. I solve the fraction, you know, 5 divided by 3 or whatever it is. He solves the fraction. Let me use round numbers because that's how it comes out better. Okay. He solves the fraction and then says, you know, 2. And then says, but it's meters per second per second. And then decides to put another second in here. So he has the number, 2 seconds. And then he decides to create another unit of seconds. And like I said, it's only for the purpose because he already knows he has a double fraction. He already knows he has another fraction he wants to use. And so he's just going to take those two things and invert and multiply. And when he inverts and multiplies, this second becomes a real second. And now he ends up with seconds times seconds, which means seconds squared. So it's a gimmick. And as I've stated before, the real test is you show me how you get from this equation to 1/2 mv squared, but put the actual numbers in the equation so you can see that the numbers are being fucked. That the equation here won't solve the same as the equation at the end. That's the proof that it's shenanigans. If I get a different answer when the numbers are here than I get when the numbers are put in here, shenanigans. And you're guaranteed to get a different number because this doesn't have anything to do with 1/2 mv squared. All right. It has everything to do with the net force is the net change in the momentum. And time just gets you a non-net number. It gets you a rate number. If I put a T here, I get the rate number. I don't get the net number. So this T, if I want the net force, this T is completely useless, as is the rest of this equation. And if I want the net force, I just ask, what's the net change? Okay. Yeah, that's enough. Fuck the math crap. So, perhaps slight interest, I did do a live room on YouTube, you know, and so I don't know, that probably doesn't come up with non-subscribers, they probably wouldn't know. So if you go to that live tab on the YouTube homepage, Yeah, I haven't made one like 3 years. So anyway, just letting you know that I might be doing some of those because it wasn't all that bad. But anyway, we'll see. Yeah. I don't think there's anything else. No. Yeah, that's enough. Ugh, I hate this planet. Blah, blah, blah. Dislike people pretty much universally. Anyway, yeah, so till the next time and such. There probably is something else I could deal with, but I can't think of it offhand, so we'll wait and such. So I'll just get out of here. Yeah, that's the one. All right, so till the next time and such. This has been a draftphysics.com or debatephysics.com video presentation.